Om Shanti. So yesterday's Murali was very deep, and many points were repetition of things we keep hearing, but somehow he's giving ways in which we can penetrate a little further, I felt. So I thought that rather than just collect up points, it's nice to try to go in deep and see what's really inside this Murali. Is that okay? Of course, Baba is the seed. And so when he says, what's the first thing that you experienced? The first thing when you came into the knowledge, you became soul conscious. I'm a soul. And then the realization that comes from that, the awareness, is that the only thing that can belong to a soul is Baba. Try removing yourself from your body and see if there's anything that can belong to you. There isn't. So this is the seed of soul consciousness. I, the soul, and the only thing that can be mine is Baba. Right? And when I, the soul, am saying, this is my body, and then from there all body consciousness comes. He says, it's very easy to remember your body because it's yours. But if you don't have one, suppose you die, you're still there. You leave your body, you're still there. It is dead. Then somebody will burn it, then it's not there anymore. So what can be possessed by a soul who doesn't have a body? If you're a ghost, for example, and you try and talk to somebody, you can't get through to them because they can't notice you, you know, unless they're very sensitive. Isn't it? Suppose. So I thought it's a very seed point. I, the soul, and the next action from being I, what is mine, she, Baba, Baba, and everything that belongs to him. You can say the property of God, or you can say the properties of God. Properties, the attributes. So all the treasure of happiness, peace, purity, bliss, all this is mine. What does a person want? Love. And stuff, you know. Not physical stuff, but the stuff that satisfies a soul, I think, is bliss. If you have love and bliss, you're a soul, you have godly love and godly bliss, then I think it would be okay, right? We would be satisfied. What do you think? So, what's in the way is my body. Because if I say my body, then there isn't my Baba. Right? Because when I say my body, it's really coming from body consciousness. If I say my Baba and there's a body, but it's his. Right? So it's the seed of body consciousness is to have a body. You can't do anything about that, you've got one. And if you don't have a body, you can't remember Baba anyway. So, it's not so easy, but anyway. So I think that he's bringing us to this seed, the seed of knowledge. I'm a soul, mine is Baba. And if I say mine is the body, then all bodily things come, and all Maya and all of this kind of stuff. So, then he went in pretty deep, I thought, from about the second page. He goes into the details that he wants to celebrate the year of Nyara and Sarvakapyara and Mehnatse Mukt. That means you're detached, you love everybody, and you're free from labor. So he wants to celebrate that year. And so then the thing that's in the way of doing that is this whole thing of excuses. So he says there's one expression that puts you into bondage and that brings you under the influence of circumstances. So this Murali brought up for me a lot about what is the nature of an influence and what is the process of becoming free from an influence. In some Muralis, Baba talks about the influence like a planetary influence. You know, yeah, the influence of Mars, Venus, Jupiter, blah, 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 all that. And then he talks about the influence of Maya, the influence of your body on your consciousness, and then the influence of other people. Because we have the influence of Baba, which is a liberating influence. Then we have the influence of the earth or the matter, the body, the bodily people, bodily things. And something which I choose to call morality as opposed to ethics. And morality, how I define it for myself, is that it's what people say is what's supposed to happen. That's morality. That's quite similar to public opinion. Very unreliable. And so you have your conscience, which if it's very sensitive, will be able to discern if there's anyone trying to bring you under their influence, or anything, we have attraction of things. When we are attracted to that thing, then that thing has us under its influence. You want it. And then a person brings you under their influence in a number of ways. They comfort you when you're in trouble. Bring you under their influence, right? Oh, I will take care of you. Don't worry. Right? Highly dangerous statement. Because when we go for that, then we come under that person's influence and we come away from the influence of Baba. We come away from the influence of Srimat. The Srimat is very definite, very clear. And we know what it is because we've been studying it for a long time. And so if anybody says to you, I want you to do this godly service, and then they describe that service, and if you find that it's not according to Srimad, then you would say, okay, they're calling it service, but it's not service, it's some other thing. It's not godly service. It may be personal service for that person, or commercial activity, or anything like that, you know. To come under an influence. So he says that somebody does something wrong, and then you have to do some other thing wrong because they did something wrong. Yes? Say you gave somebody, you're an in charge person. He talked about the zone in charge, the center in charge, the department in charge. It means anybody who has any responsibility, you will be in a situation where you may ask somebody, will you do this or will you do that? Because that's the nature of being in charge. It puts you in that situation. So then, if that person doesn't do it the way you want, or doesn't want to do it at all, or whatever, then from your perspective, they're doing something wrong. And so then, in order to counteract that, then you do some other wrong thing. You're not going to hit them over the head, but for example, you could. Just to make it a little more extreme, you know, somebody doesn't do what you want, you'll do something to disturb them, punish them, somehow or another try to make them do that. And then you say to Baba, no, it wasn't like that, it was like this. Yeah? That this person didn't want to do it, so I had to, you know, do something to make them do it. You say, which is a form of violence. And then you say, no, no, I had to do it because. Right? Exactly. So what he says is karan, reasons, and nivaran, or the solution. So somebody does something wrong, our normal solution is to do some other wrong thing, which of course is no solution, because it makes us come into karmic account with each other. And it puts us under the influence of Maya more. It destroys our relationship and various things. And then how do you come out of it? Very difficult, because you get, you know, tied in. And when you have an interaction with different people on a long-term basis, which is full of, you know, you had to do it because this, and then you had to do that because this, and then you had to do this because that. It's like another example of that is something happens, so a person tells a lie because of that thing. And then they have to tell another lie to cover that lie, and then another one. And then it's very difficult to keep track of which lie you did, because it's difficult to remember. Truth is easier to remember. But the force, there's another point that Baba gave just over here. Science, sinners, and corrupt people. These is the problem. Because the sinners, they're doing wrong things, whatever. And the corrupt people are doing another type of wrong thing. And then science is getting used for additional wrong things. It's a neutral thing, but it's in the hands of sinners and corrupt people, so then it'd be used in a very negative way. And so that's also an influence. And he said they are developing all kinds of new things. And you have to develop something new. So our creativity. He says, you are the children of the Creator. So our creativity is supposed to be, technically at least, better than the creativity of the scientists, the sinners, and the corrupt people. So they seem to be winning the battle. Why? Something to consider. So our creativity may be getting undermined by our susceptibility to influences. Our creativity may be undermined or stopped, you know, by our susceptibility to other influences. Because if I, the soul, and my Mite Baba, then I'll be able to go into silence, yeah? And then I'll get all kinds of creative ideas, because that's where they come, is silence. But if I'm getting pulled into somebody's influence, and oh, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and blah, 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 and then there's no possibility of any creativity because some corrupt person or some sinner is pulling the soul. And so they'll be very successful. And we would not be. Is it? So I think the very deepest part of this Murli is telling us be very, very careful of influences. There's subtle, invisible, intangible influences which diminish or limit your ability to be an instrument, which diminish your connection with Baba, diminish your ability to draw power from Baba, to get the inspiration for the different new ways of doing service and so on. So there's that part. And then the other part is, he says that when you're doing service, three activities at one time. This is not a new point. This has been told to us many, many times, for years, you know. The mind and the means the thoughts, the words, and the actions have to be all three in Baba's remembrance and serving all at the same time. So there would be no discontinuity between your emotions and what you say and what you mean and your affect and how you do things, and so that your complete message is singular. And so he said when he's talking to the double foreigners a little bit further along, he's mentioned this again, right? And in that connection, he said that your eyes, your forehead, and your smiling face are your instruments, your exhibition pictures. And so you be a walking, living, moving museum. So that all the attributes of the soul through the body are displayed, which give a message that we have something, come and get it. And if you say one thing, but your mind is body conscious, it's a mixed message. It's like saying this green apple is orange. It's difficult for a person to think of a green apple that's orange. Because yeah, it's green or it's orange, or it's an apple or it's an orange or what. Yeah. But when all the parts of your expression, all the different the messages, tangible and intangible, how you conduct yourself, how you feel, your vibrations, your thought, your everything is all like one, in one direction. It's very easy for somebody to pick up that message. And so that's very serviceable. You know, if you tell someone they're a soul in a slightly annoyed way, you know, it's very difficult to understand that message. So what we say and what we're doing has to fit, it has to be congruent, it has to be coherent. But if we're under an influence of anything, if somebody's annoying us or somebody's whatever, and so then we do something, and we're still saying about soul conscious, but we're doing something, there's incomprehensible communication. And so people wouldn't pick anything up except some static, you know. And so this is really, I think, what Baba is saying. And then he went on to say, what is needed is very subtle realization. And just a little sentence, but I think a huge subject. You know, what does he really mean by we, the double foreigners, are lacking in subtle realization? What do we have to realize? And why does he say subtle? And what's the trouble? Exactly. You know? Yeah, but then how subtle does he want us to go? So subtle usually in Baba's language refers to something that you cannot put your finger on easily. And again, this connects back to the, it wasn't like this, it was like that. You know? This initial point. So he says, don't say, he did this, so I had to do that. So somebody does something wrong. What's the solution? So he wants to celebrate the year of Nyara, Sabsepyara, and where is it? Mehnat Mukt. So somebody does something wrong, you have to decide within a nanosecond whether you have to tolerate it, get out of the way, or say something to assert what's right. And you don't know which one is the right one. Because if you do the wrong one, it'll backfire. And then what he has also been saying is you have a tendency to use the wrong power at the wrong time. So somebody does something wrong. The body conscious action is to behave in some or another dysfunctional way. So either you get upset, angry, or suppressed, or maybe some other thing, but none of them is a solution. Right? And so whenever we have a wrong, so-called wrong reaction to somebody's wrong thing, then it's because of an influence. And part of the influence is the person's wrong action, which is triggering our wrong habit. He calls it a habit. You know. He also says that you have a habit, what is it, Daddy Jenki's classes, you have a habit of taking sorrow. Somebody does something wrong And it's an addiction, just about. That you get upset by it, or you get irritated by it, or you get paralyzed by it. Because sometimes the reaction is to be paralyzed, and then you do nothing. You're supposed to do something, you do nothing. You're supposed to do nothing, you do something. And then when you do the wrong thing, it makes it worse. So I think, have to see that according to drama, we are triggers for each other. We trigger each other's bad behavior by our own bad behavior. And then we think that, well, they shouldn't have triggered my bad behavior, and if that had not happened, then I wouldn't have done any bad behavior, would I? Obviously that's true, but then the thing is, we can't really control what other people do. It's too much, you know. But we are supposed to control our reactions to somebody else's bad behavior. Because he's asking for us to make a solution. Karan, don't give the karan, but give the nivaran. So karan is the reason, means the trigger. This person did this, or this person said that, or didn't do it, or, you know, because it could be that somebody didn't do something they were supposed to do, that's a trigger also. And then we say, well, I didn't do something wrong, they made me whatever. Right? This is what he's saying. So he's saying that his hopes for us, is bab dada ki ek aash hai, hope, nivaran dikhai deve, that you display or you demonstrate the solutions. And karan khatam ho jai, that the reasons are finished. That is to say, whatever is the trigger, it doesn't trigger anything, it's neutralized. And then instead of that reaction, you have a response, which is the solution. And then he says, samasya samapt ho jai. Samasya is the circumstances. Because when we come into some circumstances, that's an influence right there. So I think he's saying to us that the circumstances that we come into themselves trigger a reaction which we then react to. So there's three levels of it. There's the circumstances, there's some reaction in someone in those circumstances that the circumstances triggered, and then there's our reaction to their reaction to the circumstances. So he wants us to finish the circumstances and our reaction to their reaction by a solution. And when the solution is displayed, then the circumstances have no influence. So it's a little bit like anti-gravity or something. Because the circumstances are like a gravitational pull. They pull us into their influence and out of Baba's influence. So we have to stay in Baba's influence so that the magnetic pull of circumstances can't affect us. And it can only affect us when we're in body consciousness. And so the other thing that I find is that Baba's power is made material in the form of Srimat. So you have a circumstance that is some sort of manmat or some sort of paramat, means a human idea or moral obligation. The moral obligation, I find, is opposite of Srimad. So if we are still under the influence of moral obligations, it'll make us go against Srimad. So the moral obligation is the circumstances that we have to say, okay, that's very nice, it may be moral, but it's not ethical. Ethical. An example of moral is someone will say, well, you have to do service, right? Yes. And so you have to do this service, right? I don't know. Do I? Yes, 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 you do. You have to do this service. And what is this service? Whatever it is, you have to examine it within a second, whether it really is service, whether it's necessary for you to do, whether it's appropriate, whether it's that you have to cooperate with that person because the service is necessary, or whether they're just trying to get something done through you that isn't service but just convenient for them. And our moral obligation, our socialization, religious training, whatever it is, tells us we should cooperate with somebody's selfish motives. And Srimad says no. And you have to be so fast and so sharp to be able to see that looks like Srimad, sounds like Srimad, doesn't feel like Srimad. Yes, because you can't discern it fast enough. Or you discern it, but then you don't discern how you should respond to it. And in that lack of clarity, it catches your or triggers your body conscious response, and you do a wrong action. And then you defend yourself by saying, well, I had to because. It's very subtle. Yes, yes, exactly. And so we have to be so free to get it right. And there's no formula. It's your conscience. Yes, it is right words. Yes. That's the same thing. Moral obligation is always externally imposed. Whereas ethics, Srimad, triggers your conscience, which is the inner moral authority or the inner ethical authority. The moral always is coming from outside, and which Baba calls Paramat. And Paramat makes itself look like right. It has the authority of tradition, it has the authority of seniority, it has the authority of white clothes, it has any kind of dress, but our connection with Baba has to be so subtle that we can immediately do a number of things. We can figure out, is this real? Is this right? Is this Srimad? Is this necessary at this time from this person in this way? Or is it a deviation from track? I'm not very keen on hypothetical examples because they're always false. So, if we want to have an actual situation, then, we'd have to really do some serious work to come upon a particular incident which we all saw that we can then think about. Hypothetical examples are very moral, but very misleading because they're never based in truth. And they're always in order to prove a point which is not the truth, but in order to prove that you're right. And this is the very heavy duty distinction between morality and ethics. And I think for us, morality comes in the form of Paramat, and ethics comes in the form of Srimat. But any dictionary will not distinguish between morality and ethics. But we need to distinguish it, because one is based on Rajopradhan, body-conscious intellect, and the other is based on God's directions. The people who write dictionaries never heard about that. So it's tremendously subtle, but I think that it's interesting to try to make oneself act in a very true way. And it's not easy, because the influences that are affecting us are invisible and intangible, and they have been trained into us in very, very deep way, so that for us to free ourselves from them, I think, is only done by freeing ourselves from the body. So we go back to that seed that Baba spoke in the beginning of the Murali, Mera Mita Baba. And it's very empowering, because to say my sweet Baba, to be just a dot of light and say my sweet Baba, and then anything that is other than that is secondary. Then you have to gather your powers and apply those powers to neutralize the influence of those things in such a way that you stay free. Because if you try to neutralize the influence of those things in an aggressive way or in a confrontational way, they get you another way. Because aggression and confrontational resistance is still under the subject of violence and reactiveness. So it's negative, which means the Maya can get you through that, because it's still Maya. You know? He's telling us, be soul conscious and understand that being soul conscious means no longer this is my body. Either this body belongs to Ravan, and everything that you encounter through it belongs to Ravan, or this body belongs to Baba, and whatever his directions are, you do that. So it means we have to be very sensitive to Srimat and distinguish between Srimat and the imposter. Because I find that what comes under the general category of morality, we don't call it morality. I call it morality. The reason I call it morality is because it's a form of socialization. Like, say, for example, in many people's upbringing, you're told, don't give sorrow. Taking sorrow is okay. So, not giving sorrow, but taking sorrow is moral. But according to Srimad, taking sorrow is no better than giving sorrow, you see. And so that means that in that respect, the morality is deceptive, misleading, and disturbing. And it makes us susceptible to external influences. Therefore, we have to be on guard against it, I think, you see. And so my interpretation of this Murali is informed by that type of thought. Now, he talks about files. We promise many things. I will do this, I will not do that, blah, blah, blah. And so basically what he's saying is that the act of making a promise is pretty much ineffective. Rather like a New Year's resolution which lasts until maybe January 2nd or January 3rd. And it's because we don't have the power. So, realizations are intensely painful. Isn't it? So we don't like that. So, truth, people say, oh, we want truth, all that, right? Truth, I find, people don't like. You know, say, oh, somebody did this, and so I had to do that. The truth is, you didn't have to do it, you chose to. And not only that, the reason you chose to is with your habit. And that's the truth. We don't like that. Because it's bad for our ego. The ego says, I am right and the other guys are wrong. And if I did something wrong, it's their fault. You know. And the truth is, whether or not they did something wrong, you do not have the right to claim to be doing the right thing when you're obviously doing the wrong thing. And what you need to do is to accept the truth, which is painful. So subtle realizations are very painful. And so we don't like them. So therefore, what is required for things that are very painful? Tolerance. Accommodation. We have to be able to bear the awful truth that I am habituated to avoiding taking responsibility for my behavior. And by blaming somebody else for their behavior, this avoiding facing truth because truth is painful. So, I think what's required here is the power to endure the painful truth, otherwise known as subtle realization. Because if we can endure it, if we can accept it, then the process of enduring that pain gives you power. The avoidance of pain keeps you weak. Well, the process of enduring pain, facing pain, going through the pain, and staying clear that, yeah, you know, I did this, I didn't have to, it's my habit, and I'm, you know, not going to do that again. Because once you've seen it, it makes it, I think, easier that when that kind of thing comes again, because our sanskaras, our habits are repetitive, a similar circumstance comes and we respond in the usual old way, and there'll be something in our conscience that says, hey, guess what? We've been through this story before, and you did like this, and you knew that this is wrong, so hey, don't do it. You know, we say to ourselves, isn't it? And so then you see, Baba talked about power, those who are in charge. When you're in charge of something, anything, you know, even if it's a couple of potatoes, you're still wielding power on some level. And if you're in charge of a whole zone or a whole country or a whole whatever, then you're wielding a lot of power. And whenever we, because he's teaching us to be kings, global emperors, that means he is wanting us to know how to wield power without abusing it. And morality says power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And God says, well, guess what? Learn how to use power in an uncorrupt way, regardless of those aphorisms. So that means we have to look at ourselves and see what we are in power over. Even if it's a couple of cockroaches, it's still power, you know. Do you pull their legs off or what, you know? That's abuse of power. He's a small cockroach and you're a big human, you know. After all. So, we have the power to hurt someone. We have the power to put someone down. We have the power, all this, we have the power. And we also have the direction. He says, over in this, where is it? I underline these guys. He says there's a lot of people who experience sorrow and pain when you abuse your power. And the sound of the voice of that pain is reaching him. Is it not reaching you? I'm reminded of a film, because we don't watch films, but anyway. Long, long ago, there was a film called Powder. And there was a scene in that that's quite relevant to this. There was a person who had shot a deer. And there was this hero called Powder who was very intelligent and sensitive and all that. And he got that person's finger to touch the wound of the deer. And that man experienced the pain that he had applied to the deer. And this was, I think, one of the important messages of the film. That be aware of the nature of the pain that you're inflicting on those who are weaker than you. You see, so anyone who's in power has a natural possibility and great ease of inflicting pain on another human being or an animal or whatever, you know, even from a look, you know, or from an intonation or a gesture, you can hurt someone, you see. And in body consciousness, that gives you a rush, a thrill. You feel good. I have power. You know, this is corruption. And so the sinners and the scientists and the corrupt people are finding all kinds of good ways to create massive pain. Yes, yes, that's a very good example, you know. So somebody in power over you does something to hurt you. The good way to handle it, which you may not be able to, but if you are powerful, you will accommodate it. You'll accommodate it, you'll tolerate it, and you won't say anything. And it'll be called a hair through butter or something, you know, different examples for that. But if you say, well, they did this, and da-da-da, and da-da-da, and na-na-na, and so it goes on, you see, and this is what he doesn't want. So, bottom line is, I have to be very powerful. But if I'm not, then... Because this is really, I think, the message of the Murli is whatever's going on, you know, is going to get a lot worse. A lot worse. And the only way you're going to be able to manage it is by being really super powerful. Tolerance and accommodation, Baba spoke about a few muralis ago. And to be cooperative. You see, if you're cooperative with a sinner, then you're an accessory of the fact. So then you don't want to be cooperative with that, but you do have to be cooperative. So you have to be so discerning that where do I have to cooperate? Or am I supposed to cooperate with Baba, with Srimat, with this person, or what? So you have a very strong power of discernment, and it has to be fast. And not only have we recognize what the problem is, but you also have to have the solution immediately. Because if you hesitate for a second, you're done for. Anyway, it's 6:30 now, so we have to meditate. So of course there are many, many other points, but these were the things that struck me going through the murali. Om Shanti.